Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful. They will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
be seated. Today the Church celebrates not just the famous saints, some of whose tombs we've already seen, St. Peter, St. Paul, St. John Paul II, St. John Chrysostom, St. John the 23rd, could add St. Francis of Assisi, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, and so many more. We celebrate everyone who's made heaven. We celebrate those unknown saints to the world, but who were so influential in passing on the truth to us. Our parents, perhaps, our grandparents, those people who showed us what it really means to be a fully committed follower of the Lord Jesus, somebody whose charity touched us, somebody whose mercy reminded us of his mercy, somebody whose fire for the Word of God ignited us. Today is a day in which future generations, by God's mercy, hopefully will be celebrating us. Because the only reason why we have been made, as one saint, St. John of the Cross, said, is to become a saint. And Léon Blois, that 20th century French intellectual, he said, the only tragedy in life would be not to become a saint. Because if we don't become a saint in eternity, we will be definitively self-alienated from the Lord and from his love and from his transformational fatherhood. So today is a day in which not only do we fet those who have really lived well, received Jesus' life in them to the full and responded, but we also mark the target for us and where we're going. Responsorial psalm that we heard and prayed today over and over again, "Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face." When we were at St. Peter's Basilica a couple days ago, I mentioned that most important relic contained there. The medallion, it was called. The face of Jesus that they show one time a year on the fifth Sunday of Lent. The reason why that was the most important relic there was because every pilgrimage to Rome or to any other place was to help us on the pilgrimage of life. And what do we hope is going to be at the end of that pilgrimage of life? We will see the Lord Jesus smiling on us with love for eternity. The saints are those who long to see the Lord's face. And we wish to have that longing. We've been here during these days as part of the pilgrimage of the American Bible Society, focusing on the power of the Word of God and seeking to bring that Word to everyone, because Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. If we wish to get to heaven, we need these words. But there's some big connection between the Word of God and the saints. St. Gregory the Great, whose tomb we saw a couple days ago, he said in his sermons on the book of Job, Vita bonorum, viva lexio. The life of the good, the life of the saints, the life of the holy ones is a living reading of the Word of God. If we wish to see the power of the Word of God, we look to the saints. The saints are those who have truly allowed the power of the Word of God to transform their life. A decade ago, Pope Benedict wrote a beautiful exhortation on the Word of God and the life and the mission of the Church. It was called Verbum Domini, the Word of the Lord. Paragraph 48 there, he talks about this viva lexio, this living reading we find in the saints. St. Anthony of the Desert, in the middle of the 250s, he heard those words of Jesus saying, go, sell all you have, give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. And unlike the rich young man, he is a young man who had been orphaned, and it was just him and his sister left, and he had inherited all his parents' land, went out and sold all his property, gave the money to the poor, kept a little bit for his sister so that she could take care, and he went and totally followed Jesus. Francis of Assisi, when he was 25, heard Jesus' words about putting him first, seeking first the kingdom of God and his holiness, and everything else will be given you besides. And he said, this is what I want. This is what my heart longs for. And immediately acted. Soon thereafter, in the same city of Assisi, I know some of you are going to be going to Assisi tomorrow, this young girl, Claire, at 18, heard Francis talking about the power of the Word of God. And she had within herself a burning sensation, as she said, that her whole life would be to live according to the Lord's holy gospel. Saints have had this hunger for every word that comes from God's mouth. And they, like Ezekiel, ate the Word of God and it totally transformed them. They became, in a sense, what they ate. And their whole life afterward was not just their words, but God's words that they had digested, that they were able to share verbally and with their body language. The Word of God has the power to make us not just saints, but great saints, if we correspond like the saints have. In that second reading today, St. John reminds us that we are beloved sons and daughters of God. And if we're already children of God through baptism, can we even dare to imagine what God has planned for those who love Him? Today is a day in which we dare to imagine that great happiness. Jesus has done everything to make that possible. First reading from the book of Revelation, St. John saw a little glimpse of what it would be like. And the people surrounding the Lord saying, salvation, honor, and glory belong to our God and to the Lamb. Worthy is He to receive the scroll and break it open. This is the path. This is what heaven is. And today we hunger and thirst for that reality. But the last thing I want to talk about is today's gospel. Vita bonorum, viva lexio. If we really wish to follow Jesus all the way to heaven, we have to remember that Jesus didn't merely pronounce the Beatitudes. He is the Beatitudes. To see what it means to be poor in spirit, we look to Jesus. See what it means to be so sensitive to others in their troubles and their difficulties so that it breaks us up and we mourn. We look to Jesus. To see somebody who was on fire for God's kingdom, we look to Him. Somebody who was pure of heart and saw God even in us in God's image and likeness, it was Jesus. Somebody who was mercy incarnate. Somebody who was persecuted for the sake of righteousness. We look to the Lord Jesus. And in the Beatitudes, He tells each of us, you, come follow me. In the Catholic Church today, there's this movement called the Neo-Catechumenal Way. It was founded by an atheist as a 17-year-old boy who was going to Picasso's Art Academy outside of Madrid. His name was Kiko Arguello. No, not Aguero was a boxer. Kiko, help me, Mario.
Kiko Arguello.
Is it Arguello? Okay. His parents were daily mass goers. They were good people. But one day as they were eating, talking about what they ordinarily talked about, the 17-year-old kid storms off and he goes upstairs. And his dad comes up and says, "Kiko, what's wrong?" And he says, "You and Mom pretend to be good Catholics. And the only thing you ever talk about is money. Every time we come for dinner, you're just talking about money." "Well, Kiko, okay, I mean, we need money. We need some concerns." And then he went over and he had a copy of the scriptures in his room. He didn't read it, but it was there at least. It's always a near occasion of goodness. He opened it up, he found Matthew 5, and he said, "Jesus said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs are the kingdom of God.' Do you talk about this being poor of spirit?" And his dad said to him, "Kiko, those words aren't for us. Those words are for Francis and Dominic and the saints." So on the second floor of his room, he said, "Well, if the words aren't for us..." He took the scriptures from across the room. His window was open. There was no air conditioning, obviously, at the time in Madrid. And he just chucked it straight out the window onto the street. "If the word's not for us, it's not worth anything." And that was the beginning of his conversion. Eventually went to the slums with a guitar. And he started to try to evangelize the real outcasts. And that's where it all happened. The Word of God, including the Beatitudes, are meant for us. We know in our culture, the world says in order to be happy, you have to be rich. Jesus here says the opposite. The world says you have to be sexy and have all your fantasies fulfilled. Jesus says we have to be pure in heart. The world says you're going to be happy if you're the life of the party, if you're always good with a joke and a light of your smoke, as Billy Joel once crooned. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when you mourn." The world says, "Blessed are you when all your desires are met, when you have it all." She says, "No, blessed are you when you're starving for righteousness." The world says, "Blessed are you when you're voted most popular in your high school graduating class." And Jesus says, "No, blessed are you when your conformity to me is so great that people will persecute you like they persecuted me and they persecuted the prophets." Vita bonorum, viva lexio. The Lord Jesus wants us to inflash these words. This is the road that leads to heaven. This is the choice he wants to make us, for us to make in life, to choose to become like him, people who really live these words. And the greatest gift he gives us to make holiness possible is the gift of himself. As Catholics, we don't focus on our own efforts. We focus on God's efforts. And we always go from the verbum domini, the word of the Lord, to the verbum caro factum est, to the word made flesh. St. John Vianney, the patron saint of priests in the 1800s, used to try to help his people to take Jesus' self-giving in the Eucharist seriously. Because he said if they only received Holy Communion better, with greater love and more frequently, Jesus from the inside, as we were to receive his body and his blood that makes us clean, he would make us more and more conformed to him and his holiness. That's why we're here. This is the food of eternal life. May Jesus, whom we're about to receive here in the Giustiniano Hotel here in Rome, do what he came into the world to accomplish, and help us to become like him, so that we with 144,000 might come to rejoice with God forever and have that longing for his face fulfilled, as we will see that salvation, honor, power, and glory come from him who speaks to us and now feeds us. Praise be Jesus Christ.